I don't know, like, she's out there.
Yeah. You're the Florida version of Sex in the City, JD.
That's when I was smoking my cigar.
Don't be an asshole today. So are you drinking this evening?
I am drinking in honor of Jessie going to New Orleans tonight. She's leaving after the show for a festival. I'm drinking Bayou Spiced Rum, which is made in Louisiana. It's made in a copper pot still, and I mixed it with Coke. You know how I usually mix things with weird things?
It's just rum and Coke. Favorite, isn't it? Well, I am drinking a Thatcher Cloudy Apple Cider. 5% alcohol, so it's a little strong.
Oh, nice.
But that's I'm topping it off with a little spicy Fireball.
Because there you go.
A spicy entertainer. There's more fireworks.
Yes.
I'm apologizing.
You need a little cinnamon on that apple pie that you're having. Yeah,
exactly. Let's try it.
And Jesse is also Cuban, so the rum from Louisiana was perfect for tonight.
Oh, excellent. Perfect. Let's let's admit Jesse Campo.
Hi. Hello, ladies. How are we?
Hello there.
Feeling so good. Happy to have you on today, Jesse. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me here. It is truly an honor and a pleasure to be amongst the women of podcasts.
Are you packed and ready to go? I just let everyone know that you're leaving for New Orleans for a show in New Orleans.
Yes.
Right after the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, I am packed. I mean, it's still CDs got to be put in there and a couple of little things. But as soon as I check up my to-do list, I think we'll be good and the stress will be gone.
Jesse, this is Denise.
Nice to meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet you. I've heard so much about you.
Awesome.
I wanted to say that tonight I'm drinking spiced rum from the Bayou in Louisiana in honor of you being on the show, because you're a spicy Cuban.
Yes.
So the rum and then Louisiana, because you're leaving for New Orleans tonight.
I love it. I'll have to find out more about that rum. And what are you drinking, Denise?
I had a hard apple cider, and I topped it off with a spicy Fireball. So we got apples and cinnamon.
Nice. You ladies are being spicy with your drinks. I'll be spicy with my music. How's that?
That's what we were hoping for. It was a theme.
If I weren't getting on a flight, but maybe on the plane, I'll have to honor you and ask the stewardess for something spicy.
Well, you are going to the land of spicy, so you got Cajun food and, you know, you'll be. So would you have a show there then?
Yes. So we have a festival. It's called Henry Turner's Day Presents a Taste of the Deep South.
Okay.
And the Deep South. And so I'll be performing on Saturday at 6 p.m. And then they have a kickoff party on Thursday. So tomorrow is the kickoff party, tomorrow night at the Listening Room, which is a great venue for songwriters and original music. It is just a wonderful, wonderful venue right there in Baton Rouge. So that is a really, really great place for music and for songwriters to express themselves and be able to do their original music.
Oh, nice.
Oh, for sure. Fantastic. For sure. And I got to play on some of those stages with you when I was there just before the pandemic. We went in 2020, it was. Yeah, no, 2019. And then 2020, everything happened with the pandemic. But I wanted to congratulate you on the awards that your music video is winning. Istanbul Film Festival and the Eastern European International Film Festival.
Yes.
Wow. How exciting is that?
You know what? Like, I sent you a text, I think, last night telling you sometimes we just we need to trust, and we should trust our team, you know, because they have an insight to us as artists that sometimes, you know, we're looking at it, you know, and they're looking from the outside in. And my producer, Pavano Ortiz, has said to me, you know, let's make this cinematic. I know you like your vintage and you like, you know, your very Latin targeted kind of videos, but he said, let's make this cinematic. Let's go another total direction. Let's make it new. Let's make it fresh. And he was right. I mean, we've done 5 music videos together. They're all on YouTube, on mm-hmm. Jesse Calvo mm-hmm. Music. But doing this really stepped up the game, and actually, obviously the recognition we're getting is proof that he was right. And I keep telling
him. Yeah. You have to tell the story with music, but I have to ask you, I watched the video many times. I love the vibe of the Miami feel, I feel there's a little vintage feel to that anyway, with mm-hmm. the clothes everyone's wearing and just the vibe of it. But did he cheat on her, or was it just that he was partnered with the girl?
You need to know the story.
I need to know.
Is that right? It's the second half. The girlfriend thought that the club owner, because he's the club owner, the blonde girl thought that he was cheating on her, but actually they were in cahoots to cheat the guy that came to play poker.
See, I got that part, and they high-fived in the elevator. So I'm like, but were they going up to a room, or were they just going home? Right. So you don't know. And then the girlfriend's mad at him when he gets home. So he leaves anyway. So I didn't know. And I think it's kind of cool that it's kind of left to your discretion. Right. Or is it more like they were just partners in crime and nothing beyond that?
Well, he left. I don't know where he went after he left, but kind of leave it up in the air to your imagination.
That's got a little Camille Cabello feel to it. You know how her videos, and especially the one with Ed Sheeran and Shawn Mendes, it was like this mini movie to the music. Mm-hmm. And it's like it. I love that. It totally sucked me right in.
Yes. You know, we got to tell a story with our music and also leave the audience room for their own interpretation.
Yeah. Right. It's a perfect blend of that. I would agree. Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they achieved, because you're absolutely right. Where did he go when he left? We don't know. told many people you were on the show today, and that you're going to be on, this will air Sunday. And I love your energy. Being on that trip in New Orleans was amazing. We did a music conference together there. What I really enjoy about you, Jesse, is you are the woman that straightens the other woman's crown, where it's such a cutthroat business, music, and sometimes it's really hard working with women in this business. And I just love the fact that you lift up whoever you're working with. And I've worked with usually the opposite. And, you know, I just a handful of people that I still work with that are not like that. But I mean, throughout my career, I don't know if you find that. Do you find that in working in the industry, working with other women, that sometimes it could be a little, you know, you got to watch your back?
It is a tough business overall. First of all, we're women dealing with men in a business that's dominated mainly by men. You know, we still have women executives in the industry trying to catch up to how many women executives are leading major labels, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's still that. So I think because of that, it makes a lot of women tougher than they need to be. And mm-hmm. as women, we need to empower each other. We need to, for us to make ourselves stronger against already that situation that goes on within the music industry, let's not tear each other down. So I'm a firm believer that if you see someone that's actually genuine, if you see someone that is really working really hard, and you know, there's something, and I have acquired a lot of knowledge in front of behind the scenes in this business throughout the years. You know, I had my own record label. I've managed artists. I've been a tour manager for my own band in Asia. So all that has made me be able to see the woman that just like myself is pushing really hard and hustling to make it. And then through years of experience, then you can see the ones that are really genuine and the ones that, you know what, by giving this person, someone paying it forward is what I call, you know, someone helped me. It could have been a mentor. It could have been, it could be anybody. But if someone helped me, I have a responsibility to pay it forward, and especially to my fellow women in the industry. You know, however I can empower them and inspire them, I'm. That's just how I am, and from the heart.
That's rare. That's rare, right?
It's so rare, and you inspire me, and in so many ways. And being on that trip with you was really when I got to know you. It was just really refreshing to see that. Something that was exciting for me that I mentioned to Denise last week was you wrote lyrics to one of my songs, and she wrote lyrics in Spanish because the chords to this song, You Love Me Anyway, are very Latin, have a Latin feel. And I did a Latin version, but I didn't do it justice singing it in English, and it needed someone singing it in Spanish. And so Jesse comes to me with these lyrics, and I'm like, what do they say? What do you, you know, how did you translate this? And it was a totally different story and much more sexy than the lyrics that I had. Mine were like intense, and yours was very sexy and Latin and cool. And we played that together, and that was a lot of fun to play that together. So hopefully we'll get this video going for that song down the road. We're working.
That's amazing.
Jesse's working, getting that going. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that would be a great thing. I mean, you know, I walk into this open mic and there's this rock and roll chick, you know, and she's playing this, you know, this rock song with these great chord changes. And I'm going, that's a really good song. And then when she gets off stage, I'm like, wow, I love that song. It was intense and I love the song, you know. And then I said, that's really cool. And she goes, well, I have a Spanish version. And I did a double take. What? You know, like Scooby-Doo, you know, it's like I did a double take. You have a Spanish version, but that's a rock song. She goes, no, this and this happened, and a producer did this. I said, well, you know, send it over. I'd love to give it a shot. You know, I don't guarantee it's going to have the same message because it's different. You know, you can't really do direct translations all the time. And I went ahead and gave it a shot. And the song is called Nada Sin Tu Amor, which means nothing without your love. But it's about this girl telling this guy how sexy she feels and towards him and for him. And then it translates. And did anybody videotape us when we were in New Orleans and I brought you up on stage? I thought somebody videotaped us through the song.
You know, I don't
know. See that.
I have a couple of snapshots. I wish we did have a video. I'd like to see that too.
I gotta see the guy from Boston that was there, maybe videotaped it, because I think, you know, that is just, I thought when I brought her up and you see this contrast of both of us, you know, here I am, you know, the girl. I call her the Joan Jett, you know, and it was quite a contrast, but we kind of morphed and gelled together into the feeling and the vibe of the song. And as a matter of fact, to let everybody out there, we want to go record the song. So we have a crowdfunding on Indiegogo. I have a crowdfunding that I put on Indiegogo so that we can fund just the production of the song, the promotion, the distribution, the whole bit. But I think I'm going to add a little more money on there so that we can add the video too. You just gave me a great
idea.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it was funny because when we got up there, she asked me to play it with her, I'm like, by the way, what are the words? I never asked you what the lyrics meant, because my song, the English version is called You Love Me Anyway. And it's basically about unconditional love, that no matter how many times you hurt this person, they still love you anyway. And so that's the intensity. And then I go to Jesse, I go, by the way, what are the lyrics mean? And she goes, it's very sexy. Don't worry about it. Let's go to play it.
That's what you want to hear.
I was intense. It worked. It was great. And it was a great experience. So thank you for bringing me into that, because I would have not known about that conference. It was fun.
I have a question. Like, if I wanted to donate to get this done, because I really want to get this done, I would just go to the crowdfunding website and search.
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll send you a link to Indiegogo. And it's actually, I think I'm not mistaken, the title of the Indiegogo crowdfunding is Recording for a Spanish Sexy Song. I think that's the actual title. If you Google Indiegogo Recording for a Spanish Sexy Song,
okay, perfect.
It should pop right up, you know. But if I'll send you the link and you guys can put it on your social media, and that way anybody that's watching this wants to see that rock and roll chick and the Latin chick, you know, do this song, you know, and
I might make this, like, this has given me life. I might I need to see this.
The Spanish Sexy American Song is going to get funded from the UK. I could just see that. That's going to be a totally global,
Oh my God, that is so funny. I just think the contrast of the diversity is so wonderful, because right now, you know, that music is taking a twist. When I first started writing and putting music out there in Spanish and English, people looked at me like I had two heads. It was like a bilingual song. We can't understand one half. We can't understand the other half. And now you got artists, you know, like Maluma and Madonna coming together, and you know, and it's so amazing to see the growth of music. That what we're doing now is it's the norm.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, for us, definitely. Exactly.
Yeah, collaborations are like, you know,
collaborate from two different genres and two different songwriter inputs. I think it's the norm. It's the norm. Yeah. There's no barriers, I think, today. And I feel that there's no barriers. You can cross them if you want to. You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
There's multicultural ethnicity melting pot over here. I think it reflects big time in the music, you know. And the funny thing is that I think most people kind of like have their taste and they don't really go outside of that, you know.
Right.
Like if you're an Adele fan, you're going to buy this album that's coming out, you know, and you're going to work on getting tickets and you're, you know, all that stuff. Like that's a given. But when you like, for me, like sometimes there's just like, because I'm home during the day, there's nothing else on. You guys are going to die laughing when I tell you this. There's nothing on during the day but like really shitty daytime talk shows and like reruns of Judge Judy, and you'd be surprised how much crappy American television they have on over here. So I get really bored with that really fast. So I'll put on like a music video channel, and that's where I get exposed to what's out there now, because I don't drive, so I'm not in a car, you know, and I don't have the radio playing all the time. And so that's when I find something new. And I find that the things that I'm seeing for the first time, like I'm totally digging those kind of mixes, like those collaborate Ed Sheeran and Camille, you know, it's like, what? And like, weren't we all like into the Super Bowl when it was J-Lo and Shakira? And I mean, come on. You know, it just takes it's getting it out there, the exposure. And I just don't see how anybody could like turn away from it. The beat, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to understand what they're saying, you know. You feel it. You feel it.
You feel it. You feel it. Music is an international language, you know. And just like your drinks, ladies, it spices things up.
It's spicy. I'm so happy.
Your dad was a singer, right? Your dad was a musician.
Yes, my dad. My dad was a famous Cuban entertainer back in the 60s in Cuba and then the 70s in New York. And so in the 60s, he performed in the Tropicana, a famous nightclub in Cuba.
Wow.
Huge. Back with, in the days with Josephine Baker, the Rat Pack, Benny Moré, Rolando La Seria, Facundo Rivera, the Mambo Kings, Benny Moré, who's like the Frank Sinatra of Latin music, all these famous, iconic Latin performers. But then he came here to the 70s with my mom, and they both were performing then. And mulatto, tiny little guy, you know, and my mom was like Marilyn Monroe, blonde and beautiful. And and this is what came out of the whole mix. So dad, that. Yeah, a little mix in there. And dad just in the 70s, they did the Palladium in New York with Tito Puente, with a lot of the Tony Bennett. They did a lot of great performances and some movies. And some movies as well in Mexico.
Awesome.
My mother's mother owned a nightclub in up way upstate New York, but it happened to be right across the street from the airport. So when Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Sammy Davis, when they would have layovers, they would go to the bar, to the nightclub, and they would impromptu start playing on the set. Like they would just
do it.
Yeah. So I have pictures of my mother when she was little with Tony Bennett, and I have pictures of Sammy Davis up on stage. Yeah. It's like, isn't that like the cool, like when you start, when you know that, that history, you know, with your, like, that's what I don't get. Like kids today, like instead of spending time with their grandparents and asking questions and understanding, you know, they're immediately on ancestor.com and they're, you know, trying to figure it out. Like, just go talk to your grandparents.
You wow. Know? What a great point.
I love that kind of thing. I love that kind of family history talk. Like that's my favorite.
What year, Denise, did?
Oh God, this had to be in the early to mid 50s.
Okay, that wasn't here yet. Yeah. Well, so yeah. I said he probably went into the club.
Well, my imagine? Mom, I'm thinking my mom has just turned 75 and she was like probably 10, 12 years old, you know, and that's what with the pictures with Tony Bennett and my my aunt. I mean, everybody's got a picture with Tony Bennett. Yeah, so we've had the restaurant and nightclubs, but it was in my family since way back then up until just like last year, I think they finally sold it. It was just too much work. But it's, you know, the people that pass through there, it's incredible. Just like a chunk of history. And that's the kind of stuff that I love sitting around the table with, you know, Italian antipasta in the center and everybody's digging in and talking about the old.
Exactly.
Love that.
Oh, those are the best stories. Well, maybe they'll pass a baton on to you and now you get to open one in London.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
It's almost like your dad was like Ricky Ricardo and was is your mom Cuban as well?
No, my mom's Chile, so I'm a Chile Cuban.
Oh. You're a Chile spicy Cuban.
I was just gonna say that there's the spice right there. Cuban, Chilean, yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, born in New York. What else do you want?
Your mom being blonde, I thought your mom was American because when my dad came from Sicily, my mom is also blonde and always has been, but she's Italian as well. But she didn't come from Italy; she was born here. So I thought you were kind of the same type of mix, you know, like you were the Latina American. Your mom being here, but. Your mom, I did not know your mom was a performer because I haven't seen anything on Facebook about that. So that's pretty interesting.
I did put an Instagram post with them dressed in the cabaret and her in a headdress and the whole bit. Oh, I had to repost it and tag you with it. Yeah, no. He saw her in a magazine in Brazil and he's asked the agent, you know who this lady is? And he says, oh, she's in some kind of cabaret review. He flew down to Chile to find her. And when he gets to the cafe, she would not go out with him. She didn't drink. She didn't eat. You know, it's like, well, you go out and drink? No, you go out and eat. No, I don't drink. I don't eat. And so finally they went out to breakfast or ice cream or something like that. And hey, now the rest is history.
How cute is that? That is
a very romantic story, Jesse.
That is, that's the kind of pursuing you like, you know, I'm going to get on a plane. I'm going to fly to Chile. I'm going to figure out who this is.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, that is how it's done. Kudos to him.
Absolutely. He was a go-getter. And I, you know, I continue his legacy now. And, you know, as far as the That's music. And, yeah. Yeah. And I even wrote a song for him while he was still alive. He heard it lots of times. It's called Vivió la Vida, which means he lived his life. Oh. And even if you don't understand Spanish, the song, when you hear the changes, when you get to the bridge, you know he met my mom. And at the end, it makes you want to cry because then you know what happens at the end. And so it's called Vivió la Vida. And if you get a chance, I was actually going to pull out the guitar, but I was like, you know, it's just, it's one of those songs that just, it, it's sentimental, but it's also full of life.
I think I will spend most of my day tomorrow at Jesse Campo Music on YouTube. I feel like I know what I'm doing.
There's a lot going on there.
We just got to 1,000 subscribers.
Ooh,
1,000 subscribers, yes. And now we have till the end of the year to get 4,000 views. We're 2,000 short. So anybody that wants to play,
you help them with that tomorrow.
Yeah, you get English too, because I'm a bilingual singer songwriter.
Right.
So I sing English, I sing jazz, jazz meets Latin. I also do a little bit of R&B. So it's like blues, my New York blues and jazz lady meets Latin, and it's a mix. And then during the pandemic, we all reinvented ourselves as artists. So was focusing on music for movies and films. And there was a Netflix series called Gentified. If you haven't seen it, it's a comedy.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. At the beginning of the beginning of the third episode, there's a flashback scene. And all of a sudden you hear my voice and a remake of a classic 1940s Latin song.
Shut up.
Yeah, produced by Nomad, who used to be the musical director for Babyface, go figure. And it's really, really cool. Yeah, when I saw it, I was like, oh my God. So you'll hear me go, tanto tiempo disfrutamos de este amor. And that's a classic, classic Latin tune. And the whole scene, the grandparents are teaching the grandchild how to cook Mexican food. And the song kicks in and I'm like, So
that's exciting.
That was the beginning of 2020 for me.
Oh, wow. The rest of us were hunkered down with the Cheetos and the remote control. And she was living her best life.
Yeah, a songwriter's dream is to have something in on TV or anything like that. And then the producer that I had played six songs in a movie, he had called me, said, send about six songs. I tell the story all the time. And I said, okay, they'll probably pick a quarter of a song. You know how that works, right, JD? A quarter of a song in the movie. And they end up picking all six songs, even the instrumental, in this one movie called El Sueño. The movie's in English. It's about the Dream Act, supporting the dreamers, the people that come to the United States from foreign countries. And all six songs were in the movie. And the movie is called El Sueño on Amazon Prime. And it's produced by Umberto Castro and Mr. Brian Thompson. There's another fusion, because the Umberto Castro was Latin and Mr. Brian Thompson is totally American. And they decided to create this and direct this film. And
all six songs? You wrote
all six songs. And some of them I co-wrote, but they were, all six songs. Yeah, amazing. And so you hear little bits and pieces throughout the movie. And then the one in the very middle where they play the whole song, it's in entirety, when the young man goes back to his country, did I save his family? You hear it, and it's called Dime or Dime in English. It's called Dime. And so if you go to YouTube, my YouTube channel, Jesse Campo Music, you'll put Dime by Jesse Campo. You'll get to see the trailer before you see the movie. So if you like the trailer, then
that's cool.
What's the name of the movie?
The movie is called El Sueño. Yeah, and there's two of them. So make sure you get the one by Umberto Castro and Mr. Brian Thompson. Yeah.
Very fantastic. Cool.
Oh my God. See, it pays to have all these streaming services. Like I was like, Apple TV and Netflix. Maybe I'll get rid of Amazon. Maybe I'll get, keep them all. Cause you never know.
It does. And the pandemic was, how can I say, it was enlightening for me, and it made me step out of my box. You know, I was doing gigs and doing that. I went virtual. I totally went virtual. On March 8th of 2020, I went ahead and said, you know what? I'm not sitting in my house. So I went to my backyard, asked my landlord, can I play downstairs in the backyard? And she's like, yes. I started playing by the Intercoastal. I started doing my backyard concerts on the Intercoastal. Brilliant. Started with about 100 people maybe watching. And then before I knew it, there were thousands of people watching from all over the world.
Yeah.
How awesome is that?
Blew me away. I got to tell you, really blew me away. And sometimes it was like really emotional, because we were all cooped up, and I was able to give people that couldn't leave their homes something to smile about. I got so many people that were like, I haven't left my house in so many days. I'm afraid to go out. Thank you for putting a smile. And I was like, I was religious with it. It was a gig for me. Every Wednesday I was on Instagram. at 10 p.m. Every Friday at 6 p.m. I was doing the backyard concert, and it was on Facebook. It was safe. It got me through too. They thought I was helping them, but you know, I was also getting through not being able to gig for 9 months.
Yeah, we were like starved for entertainment. So if it weren't for you guys, yeah. I don't know what we would have done.
Yeah.
You know, Jay, I remember you saying you had people from all over clicking on it. I think it was like, I know, like I was just trolling for, you know, to see what was going on. If anybody was doing anything live, I was like hitting people's virtual tip jars, you know?
Yeah.
Like whatever, like here's $5, you know? Like I'm so happy to see somebody, you know, playing music. So yeah, I really think
it was
like
a very interesting time for musicians. I think you're right, because I did it for my studio, for my other bedroom, which is my studio, and I didn't do it as you know, you were very structured, you did it like religiously, and I wasn't as often as you did it. But I mean, I couldn't believe, like I looked at one of the, I didn't realize that some of those got saved on Facebook, so I came across it yesterday because I was looking for a different video. And like at the time, like it was like I was hitting like 200 and 300 people the second time I did it. But what really got me was, like you said, Jesse, from people all over the world. Hello from Scotland. Hello from Italy. I'm like, how are these people finding me? It was just crazy. It was really surreal. I mean, you're right. I couldn't believe that I was reaching that many people from the other bedroom in my house. But it was like, I don't know if the same thing would happen now because people are going out again, but it was a very unique time to
now it's about the social aspect of it now.
Right.
You know,
right.
Before it was the isolation and wanting the entertainment. Right. Now it's like, I want the entertainment and I also want the social part of it. I want to be able to see my friends and do this with my friends. And
right.
Yeah, I would imagine it would be a little bit less, but I still think, you know, there's people like me that I'm not doing it. I'm not going out and I don't want crowds. I need to get my booster. I just want to get my booster and then I'll feel safe again. But yeah, I think there's still, you know, a bunch of us that are taking it slow, as I like to call it.
I think some things are here to stay. You know, during that time, besides the freebies I was doing, I started doing 4 virtual concerts a year. So I split them up quarterly, and the virtual concerts were paid. Yeah, I had a spot. Tickets were from $15 to $100. And you could pretty much get a $15 ticket, just watch the show, or get other prices and get additional perks. I'd send you a download, I'd send you something, whatever. And now I do them religiously 4 times a year. So there'll be one coming up. It'll be on November 13th of this month. If you can't come to Louisiana, you can get a virtual concert show on November 13th. You'll go to eventbrite.com and put in Jesse Campo virtual concert. And then you'll be able to get a ticket and watch the concert. Since, you know,
that's fantastic.
People are still not traveling. But not only that, I mean, Denise and JD, I think that besides the virtual concerts that's still sticking around, some things that are not going to leave, you know, podcasts have grown into almost, people are picking up. I went back to school, by the way. I'm at Berklee School of Music. So I went back to Berklee School of Music during the pandemic as well to get my music supervisor degree. And during that, I found out that podcasts have grown, and people in Netflix are actually, podcasts are getting picked up by Netflix.
Yes.
So you're on
your statistic. This is my favorite statistic. There were, what did I tell you, JD? 5 million podcasts in 2018, 2019. From 2020 to 2021, there's now 25 million podcasts. So 20 million people joined the podcast world during the pandemic.
And this podcast was born from that because I was home. I was born when I saw that I reached so many people, so many hundreds of people, just for playing in my bedroom for two times. I wanted to do the podcast, and I called Denise to be a guest. And then before we knew it, we were like, let's co-host it. And Denise, I mean, you had one of the first podcasts ever. Denise had a very successful podcast. When did you start that one?
In 2006.
2006, before it was even like a thing. And
yeah, like now, we peaked in 2008, 2009. And then we started doing like live events, Pride Fests, Women Fest. We did annual things. So the consistency was the key. You know, we were always going to be in Orlando for Gay Days. We were always going to be in Key West for Women Fest year after year, like 5 years in a row. And then in 2011 is when I moved over here, and we were doing kind of like this sort of thing, you know, where we were trying Skype and telephone and, you know, trying to make it work. And the timing was off and, you know, it was really tough. So I gave it a break for a little while. And then I, like you said, I tried to pay it forward and produce other people, you know, produce some new and upcoming podcaster stuff, putting it on our feed for, you know, not really any fee or anything, but, you know, to give them a hand. Cause if it weren't for a couple of saviors, you know, that helped us, we wouldn't have been able to do it. But when JD called, it was the right time, like, to jump back in it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was just a timing thing. Perfect. This is all perfect. Like, now I want to crowdfund for the video. I want to watch your thing on Amazon. I want to tell people about Eventbrite and your virtual concerts. This is fantastic. And I can't tell you how happy I am to have met you and have you on. And JD's been, like I said, talking about you forever. So now I feel like I'm in the loop now. I'm really, really excited.
Thank you, JD. Anywhere I can support you ladies with the podcast, by all means, as JD knows, I'm a big, you know, as women, we gotta stick together. We gotta stick together, you know. I don't know if you know, there's a radio station called Women of Substance. Are you familiar with Women of Substance Radio?
Yes.
And they're big support for women. I'm letting all the other women out there, all the, you know, up and coming songwriters as well, you know, reach out to stations, like reach out to Denise with her podcast. Don't be shy. You know, these women are here to mentor you if you're just getting into the business. You know, they want to help you. And then also Women of Substance, they reached out to me recently. So they're supporting through the holidays because I have two Christmas songs, one Silent Night, that I did organically during the pandemic, and very organic, violin, piano, and voice. That was it.
Nice. Oh, perfect.
And then A Season to Believe, which is one that I wrote, and they're going to be airing on Women of Substance Radio. They're going to be airing the song during the holidays, starting in November, starting now, and they will be doing the organic Spanglish Silent Night. And then they'll also be doing a song that I wrote a couple of years back called A Season to Believe. But I truly believe that that song is something we need now.
I'll say.
And it's got a little drummer boy beat behind it. It's in English and it's just got some amazing, what they say in songwriting in Nashville, furniture, because it has these that come to life. And that's on my bucket list for, not a bucket list, but that's maybe next year I'll do a video on that. But I need to go somewhere where there's snow.
Oh, no.
In that video, I want to go to the snow.
Oh, come on. Come on, JD. Come on. I always am like, come on, be in the video. Yes, absolutely.
I just mowed the lawn this morning in 43 degree temperatures.
Oh, I'm jealous. Jealous, Denise.
It's so nice.
So do you work with Bree Noble from Women of Substance? She started that station, right?
Yes, yeah. And she's the one that spearheaded the radio station. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
Yeah,
they were playing my music years ago, like when I was doing the music, when I was touring for the troops. I should get back in touch with her. We should, maybe you and I should do our collaboration on that station. That would be cool when we get to
like you were saying, like it's so nice that was even created to support. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so few avenues where you can actually go and people will help support you.
Yes, it's really, you know,
it's ridiculous how difficult it is to find support and exposure and, you know, like the things that you need. You do so much work in putting something together, and then where do you debut it? Where do you get people to see or hear it? It's so hard. That's, you know, one of the reasons why we do what we do is because we want people to come to us when they have a project so that we also can share that with the people that we know and our listeners and our subscribers, because, you know, that's what got me through, you know, the years doing the podcast before this. And, you know, I don't care what anybody says, it's a tried and true thing that when you're, you know,
Not only
is the person that created something, they have fans and listeners and followers, you know, so you combine them with ours and then you've got a bigger bunch, and then they share it with somebody they know. And it's just, you know, it's the way, it's the hard way, but it's the way that, you know, we love doing that. We love doing it for small business, for people that have got a web series, for people that are, you know, have an independent film, for people that have just written a book. Like, this is the platform, you know, we want them to come through and put us on their list of press.
Well, you used to have me on the, your on the Lesbian Lounge. That was the podcast that, that they, that Denise used to have. And I, when I was touring, I would like call in from wherever I was. So that was so exciting to do that. I still have the number in my phone. Was that your
number? Found it. I just found the 877 number. Yeah.
So, but what I wanted to say was, Denise, what let Jesse know is that from that podcast, from the Lesbian Lounge, Denise and her co-host have some of your memorabilia. Is that what it is, Denise, in the Museum of Herstory?
Oh, yeah.
Museum of Herstory in Philadelphia?
It's Park Slope, New York, like up, you know,
New York.
Yeah. They have like they have an actual bricks and mortar Herstory, you know, Lesbian Herstory Museum. Obviously the pandemic, they couldn't do the walkthrough tours and whatnot, but they said they get a lot of people that are doing thesis and papers, like college papers on LGBT history and stuff like that. And they will literally take anything that we want to give them. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, we have old show notes, you know, that we had written out, and we had, you know, things from our, like we would brainstorm when we would host events, you know, we would want to give away stuff. So we would have games to give stuff to the winners, but we didn't really know, you know, like what we wanted to do. So we would just go to a Denny's, turn over a menu, grab a pen from the waitress, and start making up games. And we have all those things. And then we have some of the first reports, like we didn't know anything about the business of podcasting because we didn't want to. We just wanted to have fun. And the first time our producer called us and said, you guys have 1 million downloads, was like this, you know, it was just like, oh my God. And so we have that show sheet saved.
That's
such a milestone. Yeah. You know, stuff like that, that we just, you know, we don't know, we didn't know what to do with it. And we really didn't want to throw it away. Like it would have hurt to throw it away. So, you know, I just contacted them and they were like, are you kidding me? Yeah, we want it. We want anything that you have. You were pioneers. I was like, okay, sure.
Now I know.
There was only 10 podcasts that were LGBT based.
Wow.
Your show, now I know that your show, and I love the name Whiskey Rock Lounge, is available on Spotify. Are you also on Apple Music? And,
Spotify, Apple, Podbean, Stitcher.
iHeart.
iHeart Podcasts. Pretty much anywhere where you can get podcasts. Yeah.
Pretty much all podcasts.
And we have a YouTube channel because, you know, now we're doing this because people want to see the guests as well. And because we have a house mixologist that comes on once a month and makes the cocktail, you know, people need to see what he's doing and shaking and all that. And now we've added a new team member that's going to be bringing us some of the LGBT headlines over the past month.
Once a month.
Compile some juice for us. So we're building a team and we're building a, you know, format, if you will. So we have a YouTube channel, and then we have any place you get podcasts, we're available.
Well, keep building. Absolutely.
Yeah, we love it.
I'm so excited that you were able to do this today. Thank you for taking time from your schedule between Miami and New Orleans and, you know, fitting us in between.
Yes.
and you were just, what, in Orlando? And you were in New York before that. So, you know, we have to keep up with the Jesse Compo tour. Yeah. Jesse Compo yeah. train.
The Latin gypsy. That's awesome. I have a friend who calls me and she goes, where are you now? I know you're somewhere, but where are you?
That's fun though. I mean, think about like the last couple of years not being able to do that. Now it's like, oh my God, thank God I can go here, I can go there.
It's like, yeah.
And I know it's no small feat because my wife is traveling to Australia and I can't even tell you the hoops that she's had to jump through. So it's like testing and, you know, testing 2 days before and then, you know, when you land and then quarantining and all this other stuff. So
yeah, it's crazy. Thank God the United States is a little bit less, but you know, still if you want to travel out you know, anywhere overseas,
yeah,
it gets very complicated.
You hear me explaining to my parents what they have to do in order to come here for Christmas. Like, are you listening to me, mom, are you listening? You gotta get the test with the thing. You gotta get that 2 days before you fly. I tell her this every phone call. They're coming in December. So I figured if I start now,
she might have the thing by the time she leaves.
She might understand what she has to do. So
thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, JD, for thinking of me and that sexy Spanish song that we're getting ready to put out in 2022.
I'm excited.
With a video, hopefully. And Denise, thank you for exposing me to your listeners in London and all over the world. And I wish you much success, both of you, in this wonderful endeavor. I think what you're doing is amazing. And I will spread the word. Always tag me whenever you're having a show, and I'll definitely share it.
Thank you.
We'll be sending this out on Sunday, so everybody will get to know Jesse Compo on Sunday. That's okay. Yes. You know, it's like, I feel like it's our Super Bowl.
Right. Fantastic. Safe travels, Jesse.
Safe travels. Have a wonderful show. Thank you again so much for being here.
Thank you. Love you both. Thank you from the bottom of my
heart. She drank way too much whiskey.
Like, never stop chasing your dreams.